and the world. I'm John Batchelor. This is the Scholar Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage, with businesses on all the six continents so far, which we very happily prosper with. However, we start with the continent of Asia, in particular China, because of anecdotes these last days that suggest the Chinese economy is not recovering, or as the polite headline writers write, it's flagging. Chris, a very good evening to you. I read a note from FT.com in these last days. Apple's effort to pull some of its eggs out of China's basket is showing signs of success. Tata Group, India's largest conglomerate, is said to be close to an agreement to acquire an Apple supplier's factory as soon as August, making the first time a local company would move into the assembly of iPhones. A takeover of the Wistron Corp factory in southern Karnataka state, potentially valued at more than $600 million, would cap a year of negotiations. The puzzle here is Apple is said to be one of the companies that is comfortably integrated into China for its supply chain and a major source of investment in China. Does this indicate that Apple is now playing both sides of the fence, or that there's a genuine move away from the unpredictability and weakness of China? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. The move from Apple is to diversify that supply chain. You will always have a substantial Apple presence in China, both because of the indigenous Chinese supply chain that Apple still relies on, but also because of the native market in China. With over a billion people, it's a substantial market, and the Chinese love Apple phones. So it's a big percentage of their revenue. That being said, Apple is quite wisely moving infrastructure out of China in some areas to diversify, to expand, to give them options should the issues that you're seeing now, whether that be trade competition, whether that be rare earth elements and minerals, the chip fights back and forth, if that continues to go in the wrong direction, then Apple's not simply beholden to China.
The Wall Street Journal runs a piece about the same time, slightly different direction. Headline, Why China's Woes Are Boosting Other Markets. Subhead, Japan, India, other markets are booming as Chinese stocks falter. This has to do with investment in China and confidence of the future. And one commentator, a portfolio manager of an Asian dividend income strategy at Janus Henderson, says it's been quite a shift away from China. This suggests that it's more than Apple, it's other companies. Do you see this in your conversations with your colleagues?
Yes, that's 100% correct. If you look at initiatives in the United States, specifically things like CHIPS Act, and the U.S. federal funding towards trying to get more semiconductors made in the U.S., you're seeing governmental direction or nudging to say China is much more of a threat competitor as opposed to a supply chain going forward, and you need to decouple. So you're seeing a resurgence in American factory growth, American factory investment across multiple sectors as jobs are reshoring, and the idea of a global economy with a global supply chain is starting to fragment a bit, and you're seeing more duplication of supply chain after living through the pandemic and some of the disruptions that came during the pandemic.
Japan is mentioned. That is not a third world country. That is not a place you go for cheap labor, nor is it a place you go for the young labor that is said to be dominant in India. Is Japan in particular prospering from this, from money being shifted? It's been an economy that's been, I think, stagnant for many decades.
Japan is going to prosper in those very high-tech industries where the Japanese, very similar to the Germans, have a high cost of labor, but also the ability to do many of the very highest value-added points within specifically electronics or technology manufacturing. So the Japanese, which over the last 10 years were losing pieces of supply chain to China, that's now reshoring to Japan as a trusted U.S. ally.
Now we move to South Korea. Of note, of course, recently we've had conversations between Tokyo and Seoul about defense from the Chinese aggressor. But that is guns. This is serious. This is money. The article you bring to my attention from Epoch Times, Samsung Display took a decisive step on June 26th, instigating a patent infringement lawsuit against BOE Technology Group Limited, China's premier display company. The lawsuit filed in the Eastern District of Court of Texas asserts that BOE had unlawfully appropriated four of Samsung's patented organic light-emitting diode display technologies that it uses in the iPhone 12. What is striking about this is, to me, Samsung, a major supplier of all things digital, is making in court the argument we've made anecdotally for years. China steals. Is this something new, or have these suits gone begging for many years and we're just noticing now?
John, it's a little ironic because Apple sued Samsung for stealing designs and key patents around the iPhone several years ago. So what's good for the goose is apparently good for the gander. That being said, it's very interesting to see the South Koreans raise the sword against the Chinese. Culturally, the Chinese would consider the South Koreans cousins, very much aligned on many points on the business side. So to see this type of an offensive action, Samsung and South Korea as a whole have many, many factories in China for product production. And taking a move like this, and a very public move against BOE, who is a state-owned enterprise in China, is effectively a move against the Chinese government, as it were, and something that will likely cause further disruption. That was certainly not done without intent, without forethought, and knowing the consequences. But it's interesting to now see the South Koreans decoupling from some of those Chinese supply relationships, likely because they've been instructed to do so.
Coming home to America, because China's problems are profound and cannot be easily solved. How many visits members of the cabinet make to Beijing, the business plan is troubled. In America, however, there is new, fresh enthusiasm for inflation being curbed in some fashion. The jobs numbers remain strong, although not as vigorous as they've been earlier in the year. Still, plus 209,000 is something that would be embraced during a period of recession. We're not now in a recession. The Federal Reserve remains predicting a mild recession up front. Do you see that in your travels, Chris, that companies are pulling back from commitment to new products or new factories, and they're hesitant about hiring?
John, you're seeing kind of a tale of two cities. Specifically in tech, you're still continuing to see layoffs. And as venture capital and private equity pulled back, many of the startups that were out there in the last several years have kind of pulled back the rug and are laying people off. That being said, also in areas of the service industry, you're seeing challenges continuing with labor availability because there are so many people out of the workforce. While the job numbers are good, if you look at workforce participation countrywide, there's still an epidemic, as it were, of key working year people not being in the job market and not actively looking for jobs or just not participating in that. And that continues to have a negative drag on the economy because we have so few people participating in the workforce today.
And if they're not participating in the workforce, how is it they're sustained? Is it transfer payments? Is it the great society? Is that what's doing this?
I would say most of them seem to be sustained on Monster Energy and Xbox. They're just people who are dropping out of the workforce in many cases. You also see a huge rise in the amount of people that are taking benefits for injuries or OxyContin addiction or other, but large segment of the population, specifically male between 19 and 50, that have just dropped out.
The commercial real estate story that you've identified for more than a year is now commonplacely worried about, and how it attaches to the banks. However, there seems to be a momentary pause. Perhaps we can handle it, or refinancing can be done here and there. The banks also are momentarily pausing, saying perhaps we have the reserves necessary to get through this next patch. So while the problems remain, they're not now being talked about. I do contribute what I know about New York City. It seems to have plateaued at 69% to 70% subway ridership compared to 2019, a hesitation to return. And that is driven by concerns about security. The polling shows that. The mayor has complained about the media emphasizing the polling, emphasizing anecdotes each day of violence. Now, that's one city. It's a very important city. It's a major city. Do you hear similar stories about hesitation reaching to return to the office, reaching a certain point and then no more?
You're seeing very much the same thing in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, in other key metro cities where crime continues to be a problem. All of that being said, as we go through the summer months, watch that September 15th to October 1st time period. If people are not coming back to the offices in force in that time period, then you'll probably see more corporate downsizing or right-sizing as we go into the next phase of this potential recession.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.